Second thing is this, the Word convicts us. 2 Timothy 3:16. I'm overlapping a little bit what Billy said, but a little overlap is good for you guys. 2 Timothy 3:16. I'm going to read it so you know I ain't lying. You ready? 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is breathed out by who? God. And profitable for what? Teaching. Oh, we love that part. And for what? Reproof. And for what? Correction. Only about three people said that because you don't like correction. You don't like to be told that what you're doing is wrong. Listen, you need correction. You need reproof. If you read God's Word and you look at it and go, I've got this figured out, then I would just say to you, you are your own God. Because your standard is only measured by you. And if it's only measured by you, that's a very poor standard. My life is measured by the gospel. It's measured by the Bible. And you know where I land when this is the standard? Boop. Way down there. And I need Jesus to bridge that gap. Thank you, Lord, that you're doing that daily in my life and daily in the lives of our people and daily in the lives of the folks that we don't see in this room. It is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent and equipped for every good work. You need this to cut you. You need this to shape you. You need this to mold you. If you do not, and listen, if you are not in this Word, do not be surprised that your life looks like it is in shambles. You hear me? People come and say, hey, listen, I got an issue in my marriage. Have you been in the Word together? Not at all. Get in the Word. I promise you it will be better. There is power in the name and in the Word of Jesus. And if you have not tried that, but you've tried every other Oprah and Dr. Phil crap out there, continue to do that and let me show you where your life ends up. It is good that the Bible convicts us. If it doesn't convict us, it's not working. Listen, there is almost always going to be brokenness before you're made whole. Some of you have been through that. Some of you have said, I've been broken, and I know what that's like. And other people need to be broken so that they can be made whole. Reproof, correction, and teaching, it is profitable. It is good that every man and woman in here would be equipped for the work of God. Listen, this journey is not easy. But man, it sure as heck is nice to have kind of a roadmap for it. I don't know what the outside world does. I don't know what I was doing before. I don't even know how I tied my shoe or brushed my teeth. I'm just being honest. I have no clue what the point in any of it was. But the Lord showed grace and He showed mercy. When I was in sin and lost, in darkness, He showed light. In Acts, we have Acts chapter 2. We get this kind of beautiful speech at Pentecost where Peter has been filled with the Holy Spirit and he is preaching to Jews and Gentiles in Jerusalem. Very kind of cool setting. Now listen, Peter is the same guy that as soon as Jesus was in the garden about to be taken to the cross, he's just like, Narnia, and he cuts the dude's ear off, okay? So he's the same brother that's cutting ears off and going, I will never deny you, Jesus. And Jesus says, brother, you can do it three times. No, I won't. He does it three times. And so listen, here's the beautiful thing. God uses, again, sinners. He uses people who are fallible, who are not perfect, to accomplish His goal. When the Holy Spirit fills Peter. Listen, Peter's no theologian. He didn't go to Atlanta Christian College. He didn't go to no seminary. He's not a gifted young man that has written papers on doctrine. He hasn't done any of that. The Holy Spirit fills him. He starts to speak. He starts to preach. And I'm just going to read you a portion of it. I read the whole thing in the last sermon, but I'm only going to read you a portion of it in here, okay? You got eyes. You can read it yourself if you want to, the rest of it. Acts chapter 2, verse 37 says this. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the what? Heart. Man, come on now. Preach. They were cut to the heart. And he said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? They've done been cut to the bone, cut to the heart. Listen, the gospel has penetrated the soul of people who said, no, thank you. And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Listen, I couldn't be made whole until I've been cut deep. The Lord gave me a heart transplant. He's pretty good at doing that. He gives me this heart change. He changes the way that I view the entire world, because all of a sudden this isn't chicken noodle soup for the soul, guys. This is the gospel. This is the word of God. It's no longer just like, hey man, this is a pretty cool story about some lame dude that can walk now. It's like, man, look at Jesus. He speaks life into dead people and dead people get up. He spits in his hand, wipes on a dude's eyes, and the guy can see. He takes the kid's lunchbox and he feeds 5,000. It's what he's doing. It is power in the word, because the word became flesh and the word dwelt among us. If you don't understand that, you don't get the word of God. You don't understand fully that it's truth and fully that it's relevant and fully that the word of God has power. The third thing is this: the word speaks life into us. There again, Lazarus, John chapter 11. Flip there right quick. If you can't find it real quick, it'll be on the board. John chapter 11, verse 38 and following. Jesus' best friend, one of his best friends, has died. And he was sick before, and Jesus refuses, or not really refuses, but he doesn't go and doesn't heal the man. And in verse 38, it says this, John 11, chapter 38, then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb, and it was a cave, and a stone lay against it. And Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead for 4 days. Jesus, he stinks. KJV says that he surely stinketh. And Jesus said to her, did I not tell you that if you believed that you would see the glory of God? And so they took away the stone. Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me, and I knew that you always hear me. But I said this on the account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me. In verse 43, listen to this. And when he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen, and his face unwrapped, and his face wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, unbind him and let him go. Listen, when you become a believer, Jesus looks at Satan and says, unbind him, let him go. That's exactly what he says. Gina is no longer yours, she's mine. Billy is no longer yours, he is mine. So that when God the Father sees you, he doesn't see you because you are imperfect and broken and nasty, but he sees the Son of God. He sees the blood of Jesus covered you, and that is the atonement for your sin. That is the Word made flesh dwelling among us. That is the Word being split open and poured out on you so that you might have life. Jesus speaks life into dead people. He tells a dead man who cannot make a decision. Listen to this. Notice this. Lazarus can't make a decision whether to get up. It's not his option. Hey, yes or no. He's just mummified. He can't get up. Get that man up out of here. He comes out there. Unbind that man and tell him to come here. You cannot just create life in yourself. Jesus must speak life into you. Guys, I read a story, and I will not try to say the dude's name from North Korea. But in the 70s, North Korea had prison camps all over the country. Now, they still do to this day. They still do to this day. Now, they're not quite as harsh necessarily as they were. They're a little more monitored, a little less brutal. But in the 70s, they had prison camps all over the place. And the prison camps were set up really for people who were, I guess, against the law, or either they were Christian. Really, anything they did that they didn't want you to do, your butt was going into a prison camp to think about what you did so that when you get out, you wouldn't do that again. And so there was a young man around 21, 22 years old that was in a prison camp. And he wasn't a very strong guy, wasn't a very strapping young man. So he quickly got demoted from doing the heavy lifting because he couldn't do it. He got demoted to cleaning the bathrooms. Now, when I say bathrooms, I don't mean like Lysol and a nice plunger, like nothing like the ladies' bathroom, nothing sweet and awesome like that. I'm talking about like holes in the ground with stacks of strips of paper used for toilet paper, and that's what he had to clean up every single day at night. And he would go in there, guys, and here's what happened. When the North Koreans would find a Bible, and to this day they'll still do this, when they find Bibles, either they burn them on the spot, or they take them in these prison camps, they cut them up into strips, and they put them beside the toilet for toilet paper. And so this man would come in every night, and all of these used strips of toilet paper would be everywhere. But they were scripture. Pages taken out of a book like this. And he would start cleaning up, and over the days that he would do it, he would start to read and wipe off the toilet paper so that he could read what was on it. He served a 12-month sentence. 1 year, and by the end of the 12-month sentence, he had collected the entire book of Romans in scraps and pieced it together under his bed. And before he got out of the camp, the Lord spoke to him through his word, and he became a believer. Now, it didn't end there. He was saved and released and purposely started to redistribute Bibles that he would be put back in the prison camp that he might reach some for the lost. When the Word of God gets a hold of you, when the Word of God gets a hold of you, I'm not talking about like emotionally, but I'm talking about grabs your heart and changes your mindset, you are no longer who you used to be. The Word of God has power. It speaks life into us. Fourth thing is this, last thing. I'm about to pull the car in the garage. The Word transforms us. The Word transforms us because if the Word is power, it literally changes. Not only does it raise us from the dead, but it transforms the way we think, the way we act, the way we do life. It transforms us, guys. Probably no greater story than we have than Paul, or Saul rather, on the road to Damascus. He has literally got warrants for Christians. He is going to serve the warrants, kicking butt, taking names, killing believers. That is exactly what he's going to do. Now listen, if you know anything about Paul, he writes most of the New Testament. He writes most of the New Testament. That is profound considering he was the modern day ISIS back then. He's killing believers for their faith, or at least overseeing them killing people. As Stephen, the very first martyr in the Bible, is being stoned to death, Paul stands in approval. Paul is holding the jackets of the guys throwing stones. Let me put your coat on the rack while you wail on this young man. And Paul is struck down the road to Damascus. And the Lord says this, Paul, Paul, why do you persecute the church? No, he didn't say that. Paul, Paul, why do you persecute who? Me. You mess with the church, you mess with the Father. That's not a dude that I'm trying to mess with on that. The Lord strikes him down. You will now work for me, Paul. You will now do my work. You will no longer do what you want to do. The same thing at 19 happened to me. Will, not quite as dramatic. You know what I'm saying? I wasn't like, bam, oh now, snap, Stephen, I can't see. You know, it wasn't quite that dramatic. But it was like, listen, you will work for me now. You will no longer work and live for yourself. And I will shape and I will mold your talents and your gifts. And I will take all of that energy and I will focus it on the gospel. Because that is the power that I have. That is the power that the Word of God has. And that is the power that the Word made flesh has. Jesus Christ. Guys, I'm going to close with this story right quick. I'm sorry, guys. I just got glasses and so I'm new to them. While I was at Shady Grove Christian Church, the church I was at in Opelika, Alabama, before you guys recruited me, or called me up from the minors to the major leagues, I was at Shady Grove, and guys, our house sat right beside the church. It was what they call a parsonage, okay? And it was the church like said, hey, you can live here. You can live here, and you don't have to pay for housing. And so I was like, that's cool, you know, because that, you know, saves a mortgage payment and stuff. And so church is here, house is here. And so Steffi and I had went to, I believe we had gone to Phoenix City one night, which is right outside of Columbus, Georgia, right on the line. And I think I had an important ministry meeting with a guy at a pawn shop about a firearm. It was strictly for evangelism purposes. It wasn't for pleasure. And so we had got some dinner or whatever. I don't know if we got dinner. Steph was going to cook dinner. So we came back to the house and pulled in. And there was all this commotion at the church. There was three or four cars. There was a record service right there. And so I just kind of walked over to kind of see what was going on because I'm the minister and I need to check on if somebody's trying to tear the church up. And so there was a record service and a couple cars parked. And there was this bigger guy, about 6'2", 6'3", 215 or 20 pounds. He'll probably get bigger as I tell the story later in my life. But he's sitting on the back of the truck, on the back of his car, kind of looking at me as I come up. And Stephanie kind of walked over for a second, and then she's like, I'm going to go get supper ready. And I was like, you're so sweet. So she goes in the house to get supper ready. And I say, I need to talk to these people. So I start talking. And this guy goes, he said, hey, man. I said, hey, how are you doing? I said, is there anything that I can help you with? And he was like, no. And I was like, all right, fine, dude, be rude like that, you know? And so I just kind of looked over there, and there's a guy, and he's the record service person is talking to a lady, and there's another guy there, and then there's another lady, like, in his truck. And so I'm like, I'm kind of confused about the context. So the context was the trucker service pulled up to get a car that had broken down the church parking lot, just randomly, okay? While he pulled up to get the car that had been broken down, Another situation was taking place right in front of the church where a guy on drugs and drinking was beating the snot out of his girlfriend in front of the church sanctuary, of all places. He's knocking her head in. The guy that gets out of the truck that was the wrecker, he's an off-duty sheriff's deputy. So he runs over, pulls the guy out, puts him on the back, doesn't put him in handcuffs because he doesn't have handcuffs, pulls the lady aside to get her side of the story, and I walk up, unbeknownst to me, all this is going down. So I walk up, and I see him talking, and the guy, the officer at the time, because I worked with the city, but I had never seen this dude that was a cop from the county, and he looked over to me, and I just kind of nodded at him. He just kind of nodded at me. Like, generally, you'd be like, hey, man, that dude's nuts. He's 10-18, like, what that means, he's crazy. Like, you'd think he would have said something like that. And I was like, so I just looked back at the guy. The guy goes, I'm here to talk to the preacher. This is the big dude now behind the car. The guy who was assaulting the girl that I'm like 6 feet from and don't know what he's capable of. And he goes, what do you want? And I was like, I'm just trying to talk to you, man. He's like, I'm here to see the preacher. I was in Vietnam. I was Special Forces. I killed 20 Vietnamese. Bro, what you talking about? 20, he killed 20 people. You know, he could just be talking crazy. But then he kind of walks around. He's a pretty stout dude. And I'm like, okay. And he's like, are you the preacher? And I'm like, I can get him. I was like, I know his number. I got on speed dial, brother. You know, get him. He's a massive dude. You don't want to mess with this dude. And I'm just kidding. I said, yeah, I'm the preacher. And so he kind of walks around the car to me. And I could kind of slightly smell a little alcohol. So I knew he was kind of off a little bit. And so Stephanie, in that moment, texts me, hey, when are you coming over for supper? And I just took my phone out, and so I stepped back from the man, and I pulled the phone up to my eyesight so that I could see both the phone and the guy just in case he did something nuts, right? And so I text Stephanie, I'll be there in a second, hopefully, ... put the phone back in my pocket, and he looks at me and goes, did you just take, and he used an explicit term, did you just take a blank picture of me? And I was like, no, I was just texting my wife, and I just kind of like, motion toward the house, and as soon as I turn back, y'all, he's on top of me. It's MMA in Opelika, Alabama, Shady Grove Christian Church, Friday night, throwdown. And this is a big dude, so we start tussling and wrestling, okay? Now, we're behind the vehicle 20 yards, 30 yards from the cop, and the road we're on is fairly busy, and there's a highway right beside it, and so we're wrestling and going at it, and he's kind of an older guy, which that's not why I was able to get the advantage on him, but maybe it was. And maybe it was because he was kind of drunk too. But like, we end up rolling around, and I end up getting on his back and getting him in a headlock, okay? And I kind of wrap my feet around his front side so he couldn't move. And he's fighting and struggling and hitting me. And I kind of roll over, and Miss Rudd from Shady Grove Christian Church comes rolling by the church. Just. She's rolling the window down. Will, what are you doing? Call the police, you know. What do you think I'm doing? I'm out here doing a wrestling Bible study. Come on now. Kind of Jacob in the Lord wrestling a little bit. Come on. And so I'm sitting there rolling over, and finally I'm like, police? So the guy comes running over. He pulls the guy off. We get him in handcuffs. He had a pair in his truck. He should have already had the guy cuffed to a tree or something. This lady cop, she pulls up and she gets out. He's handcuffed now. He walks up to her, and he kicks her right in the chest against the car. Man, she drew her taser so quick and popped that dude. He went down like a sack of potatoes. Wham, he's flopping around like a fish out of water. So then she walks by again. He's still kicking at her, and she's just lighting him up. And he's just, I mean, I'm like, man, this is going to be good stuff for Sunday morning, man. And so he's just flopping around like a fish. So we get him up, put in the car. He's crying. He's confessing, I'm so sorry. I killed people in Vietnam. He's confessing. He's asking, I promise I love you if you not tase me again. So he's going ballistic. And so I ended up, guys, having to go to court over this incident, and ended up everything was okay. And so I called a friend of mine a couple weeks back who works at a recovery ministry there. Guess who came to know Jesus? This man. You fight with the pastor, the Lord's going to get a hold of you. That goes for anybody here. You want to wrestle me or Billy? Preferably Billy first. And I'll get you when you're tired. The Lord's going to get a hold of you and save you. Guys, the reason why the Word has so much power and the Word changes man's life is because the Word that became flesh and dwelt among us was also the Word that was crucified on the cross, was also the Word that was spilled, the blood that was spilled, to cover your sins, to atone for your mishaps, for all of your stuff, Everything that you would do, past, present, and future, is covered at the cross if you would say, Jesus, you are my Lord. It's not good enough to say that I believe in God. It is good enough to make Him King. It's not good enough to say, I kind of think it's true, or yes, I believe in the Lord. It's not good enough for that. We have to make Jesus King of our lives, over everything. The Word of God is power. It transforms us, it molds us, it shapes us, it meets us where we're at. Praise God for that. And the reason why we have hope in this is because Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father. And Jesus is coming back for you and for me. And on that day, it will be glorious. Never forget the power of God's Word. Next week, Billy's going to talk about hope. Hope that you're here. We're excited to see you. Let's pray. We'll close up. Father, we thank you so much that you gave your Word to us, that it was given to us through you, God the Father, through the Holy Spirit, and you used Jesus as just a phenomenal tool to save us from all depravity, that the blood spilled on the cross creates in us this overwhelming desire to make a joyful noise to you. I mean, I pray that our people would understand that, because here's the deal. Lord, if we don't cry out in the glory and praise of your name, then your Word tells us that the trees will cry out, that the rocks will cry out, that the mountains will cry out. There will be no mountain cry out your name before me. There will be no flower to praise your name before me, because we are made in your image. Jesus, empower us to go boldly into our communities, into our work, and in our families, and love people like you loved us. The Word of God is truth. It is relevant, and it is powerful. So powerful that it can raise dead men from the grave, just like me and just like these folks. Father, thank you so much for what you've done, for the sacrifice that you offered on the cross, that we could see your glory painted in every part of creation, and that that creation would create in us this joyful noise. Jesus, you are the only thing worthy of worship. So let us worship you in spirit and in truth. Guys, as Nick closes,